Thank you, Bill. Bill and Gay and some of their kids came to Cleveland, been a year or so ago now, hadn't it, Bill? Something like that. And I asked him to lead singing for us over there, and he did a good job for us there, too. Appreciate your presence, those of you that are visiting. Bobby and Karen Graham drove here from Decatur, and we're glad that they are able to be with us. I've known Bobby a long, long time. And we want to study tonight what I want to make, or have made, the theme of our week. Everything is around the theme of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ is in us, and we are in him. There's an amusing story that W.L. Wharton told, that you talk about Christ in us and we are in Christ. He said out west there was a fellow that climbed up in a tree. I don't know how you climb up in a tree in a desert, but he did that in a Joshua tree, I guess, and to get away from the rattlesnake. A rattlesnake was crawling toward him. And he noticed over here another rattlesnake was coming this way. And the rattlesnakes just kind of crawled right beside each other. And about the time they got to each other's tail, this one started to swallow this one. And this one started to swallow that one. And they started to swallow each other until he didn't know if this snake was in this snake or if this snake was in that snake. And he just shot them to be done with it. So... we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. But it's not like a shoe in a box. It is a relationship. It is like the baby being born into the family. We are in the church, in the body of Christ. We are in him, but he is in us as well. We're baptized into Christ. We've put on Christ. Those are figures of speech referring to the relationship that we have. Jesus says that he stands at the door and knocks. He wants to come into our souls, into our hearts. And if we'll open the door and let him in, he will dwell with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I've got a little clicker here, and I'm going to click the clicker and hope it works. That's not the one I want. That's the one I want. This is a picture of Niagara Falls. That's a beautiful place. Ann and I saw this a good number of years ago. I had a meeting up in northern Maine, and we drove up there, and we left early. I think the meeting was to start on a Thursday night or something like that. We left several days early and vacationed along the way, and I saw Niagara Falls and worshiped with the church where Bill Hall was preaching at Hamilton, Ontario. We saw this Niagara Falls, and it's a beautiful thing, a part of God's creation. Lots of water flowing over those falls every day. Behold, the magnificence of God and his creation. We want to look at Christ in us like the water that is there, kind of like the water being in that plastic bottle, a drinking water. What's the difference between that water and this water? Well, this water might not be potable, or potable, however you pronounce that word. And this water is. It's a little cleaner than that for drinking, but that's a whole lot more water there. I am trying to think about Christ in you and us in Christ. Think about this as Christ. This is a view of the falls from the American side, which is not as beautiful as this view of the falls from the Canadian side. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and we have a little bit of Christ in us, and we're to grow in his grace and in his knowledge day by day. And as we do that, we do explore and experience together the spectacular supremacy of God's Son. John 17, the prayer that Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some people call the prayer in Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer. That's just a model prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. He's praying to the Father before he goes to Calvary. And he says, I do not pray for these, the apostles alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So all of this water, the water of life, and Jesus says, come and drink of it, whosoever will. And we put that part of that in us, and we offer this, a cool drink of water, to those that would come and listen to what we have to say and share the gospel with them. And in, as Carlos read this passage from Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. We need hope in this world, and we would like to have the glory that Jesus offers us. Jesus gave all of that up, and he prayed to the Father that he would be glorified with him, with the glory that he had before the world was. And he offers that to us, that we may have that. We have the hope of glory, eternal life with him in heaven when this life is over. But we must have Christ in us in order to do that. And if we have Christ in us, it's going to show to others. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. That powerful stream of water going over Niagara Falls, part of it in a little bottle. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, just a little bit. And as we grow in that and are better able to share this water with others, we have some help from above. In John 14, Jesus says, anyone who has my commands and obeys them loves me. My Father will love the one who loves me. I too will love him, and I will show myself to him. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. I will show myself to him. The New King James says, I will manifest myself to him. And Thomas says, how will you manifest yourself to him? Not knowing those things. In Galatians 2, Paul says, and this is a paraphrase, and we looked at those different translations and paraphrases this morning. This is from the Message, which is way over to the right on the chart that I shared with you this morning. On the left being word-for-word translations, and to the right, thought-for-thought translations or paraphrases and so forth. I've made a few quotations in this lesson from the Message, and it gives a little different flavor to that, and I'm not basing any word study upon that, but giving you a little flavor to that. That the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. Let me read to you exactly what the New King James says in that passage. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are to have his suffering and be dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness and living spiritually through the Spirit which dwells in us through the Word of God. And 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 14, in a nutshell, the message says, through suffering our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. The others might see that water of the Niagara Falls in that little bottle of drinking water that we have that is usable and is consumable. We can partake of that and can share it little by little with those round about us. Verses 7 through 14, reading the full passage there in the New King James. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up us with Jesus and will present us with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, this is perhaps the most poignant of these passages speaking about Christ in us. It says, it was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. I let Christ take over. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I just let Christ take over. Let his power overrule my mistakes and guide me in what I should do and say. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What? Here I am walking, trying to make a journey on my own, but I should be over there in the light. God's light is shining there, and it is upon us, and we're trying to share that light with others. But many times we feel that bad things happen to good people, and that's going to be one of my topics later this week. But if Christ is in you, the hope of glory will help you through dark, difficult, stormy times. Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Bear precious fruit in me. If you can see the old branch there with the scaly bark on it, that's the vine. And the fresh-looking young wood there, that's the branch. The vine doesn't bear the fruit. The branches bear the fruit. But the branch has to be connected in vital union with in the vine. The branch has to be in the vine to bear fruit. And though if the branch is in the vine and it doesn't bear fruit, it is cut off, pruned away, and cast into the fire. We are to be in Christ and bear fruit for him and be part of the cluster You know, we are all fruit on other people's branch to some extent, and we are to bear fruit ourselves, but we are to be Christ in us collectively means we are part of a group. We're part of a cluster of grapes. Jesus says, I am the real vine. As the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life of the vine, so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. I am the vine itself. You are the branches. The plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. This is how my Father will be glorified, by you becoming fruitful and being my disciples. It is I who have chosen you. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit that will be lasting. The living God within, among, in the midst of his people is a dominant theme of Scripture. And I often pray that God would keep us in the hollow of his hand. And in the hollow of his hand, no harm or danger can come to us. All things work together for good to those that are the called according to his purpose. And how can that be so if Jesus, his only son, was crucified the most horrible death upon Calvary's cross? How can that be true if the Apostle Paul, who was walking in fellowship with God as best we can determine, and walking in the light as Jesus was in the light, and willingly said, what wilt thou have me to do? But yet he suffered shipwreck and stoned and was beaten and ultimately was executed for his faith in Christ. How can we say that we are protected when terrible things happen to good people? Well, we don't know all the answers to that, but still we have faith and trust in God and believe that ultimately we will be victorious, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We must stay in and with great faith be in the hollow of God's hand to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. When Moses went up on the mountain and spoke to God, and then in the wilderness that water came out of the rock under the direction of Moses, of God through Moses. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was among them. The Lord blessed them and watched after them and guided them through the wilderness. Even in their unbelief, the Lord's will was not for them to stay in the wilderness, but they rebelled against God, and all but two over the age of 20 when that happened perished in the wilderness. But God led them through that. The wilderness made for the growth of Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb is a wonderful example along with Joshua. We know a lot more about Joshua than we do Caleb, but I encourage you to study Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and his struggle against disobedient people. And still he said at the age of 84, give me this mountain. And he took that mountain, even though there were giants there still at his older age. The pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, signifying the presence of God over the tabernacle and leading the people. God was with them. And the angel of the Lord was there. The pre-carnate Christ was got there with them, and they were to be, Christ was in the burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's been there all through the Bible. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The 12-year-old lad said, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? He, from a lad, was striving to do God's will and thinking about things, and I encourage you young folks here today to be like this young Jesus in discussing and thinking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Matthew chapter 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were there with Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured before them. His raiment became shining white, and there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. And Peter was in awe of that, and he said, that's a wonderful thing. We ought to just stay here all the time. We can build three tabernacles, one to you, one to Moses, one to Elijah, and we'll just worship together and worship you, and things will be perfect. It's just like being in heaven already. But the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Thus elevating Jesus above the law and the prophets, of Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets. And Jesus Christ is the one that we are to follow. The tremendous magnificence of the Son of God that we are to serve and we're to believe in and have with us and to have in us. And when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly and intensely desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I'll not eat of it again with you until I eat of it with you in my kingdom. Christ wants to be with us, and he's in everything that we do and think and say. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He poured out his life unto death, Isaiah 53 says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He's walking in the midst of the candlesticks, the churches, as in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia. The Lord tells them that needed to repent or else I'll come and remove your candlestick. And in every one of those seven letters, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And in heaven itself, the throne of God and the Lamb shall be within the city. His servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name will be upon their foreheads. Night shall be no more. They have no more need for either lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will shed his light upon them. He is the light. What a beautiful thought that is, toward which we are working. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, the text of our lesson says, Colossians 1, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory. The Word of God that is living and active, it is like a sword of the Spirit that's able to divide asunder the thoughts and intents of the heart, the bone and the marrow, and is able to guide us to an eternal reward. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The word glory in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word kabod, and it means the opposite of ephemeral or dazzling. It's not something glitzy and full of pomp and circumstance. It rather refers to that which is weighty, significant, substantive, concrete, tangible, and very real. My mother grew up in southeastern Oklahoma, Choctaw County, Oklahoma, around the little small town of Hugo. Choctaw County, Choctaw Indians, a lot of them still live around there. And she learned some of the Choctaw words. And she taught me, there's a trucking company that I see quite often, and I am in a situation that I can talk to the driver sometimes. And that trucking company is Tribe. And it is a company that is owned by a Native American woman. And one of the drivers looked kind of like a Choctaw Indian, or looked like he had some Native American blood in him, and I asked him, are you a Choctaw? And he said, yes. I said, do you know a little some of the Choctaw language? And he said he did. And I told him my mother taught me a couple of words, and I'd never spoken to anybody that knew Choctaw language before, and I just wanted to verify this. And he said, Art, what's your word? And I said, Scully. What's Scully mean? And he said, that's money. And I said, that's right. That's what my mother told me, Scully. And I said, there's another word, Scully Exshaw. Can you tell me what Scully Exshaw means? Yes. He said, that means money's all gone. I said, that's right. Scully Exshaw. Well, I tie that into this lesson right here. Kabod means glory. You know what glory all gone means? Or what's the word that means glory is all gone? It's the name Ichabod. And you know that name Ichabod from the legend of Sleepy Hollow, that fellow with a pumpkin head, and also the name of the little baby that was born to the daughter-in-law of Eli. When the Ark of the Covenant was taken and Eli heard about it, he fell off the log he was sitting on backwards, broke his neck, and he died. And his daughter-in-law, who was great with child, went into such a constriction, the baby was born. And she named the baby Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines, and the glory of the Lord had departed from them. Christ in you is not Ichabod. It is Kabod. We have the glory. Glory refers to that which is weighty and significant, substantive, concrete, tangible, and very real. Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. Jesus gives us God's glory because he is God's glory, full of grace and truth. I pray that out of his glorious riches, Paul says in Ephesians 3, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ among us, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And our journey continues as we explore and experience the spectacular supremacy of God's only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whatever we do, we're to have the will of Christ in our minds and strive to let that show through and offer people that little drink of water that they see us. They may just catch a little glimpse of Christ if we strive to do that and let our lights shine so that others may see our good works and glorify our Father. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Christ in you and in me, the hope of glory. If you need to respond to the gospel tonight, we hope you'll do so while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.